One thing we hadn't got to do on the show yet that we wanted had set out, but wanted to do, and we're going to get started on, is actually talking to some of our law enforcement officers, kind of talk about different jurisdictions, what they're responsible for, and what they can help you with. And today we have the opportunity to sit down with a local conservation office, and we were going to go ahead and clarify that. Actually, what we, I think most of us know, is a game warden, and we had the opportunity to sit down here today with Chad Rice, talk about his role and the kind of things that he deals with. And we'll let Chad introduce himself, and then we'll start getting into a little bit more about what his job description entails.
So my name's Chad Rice. I was born and raised here in Powell County. I've been, like this official title of conservation officer. I prefer to be called game warden because that's what I grew up with. Been doing it for 17 years.
Chad, when we get to talking about, you know, hopefully this week we'll have all branches of all of our law enforcement represented. Oftentimes I think our people, just because y'all are not as numerous or whatever, don't realize that you're another branch of law enforcement we have. It helps us at the local level. So kind of just a brief description, kind of what you're, in fact, I guess y'all have probably even more authority than state police in some instances. So I guess people take for granted a lot, I guess, the law enforcement capacity you have as a game warden. And so,
we're a sworn peace officer, just like any Kentucky state trooper, or any local, you know, PD or sheriff's office, go through the same training at DOCJT in Richmond, plus our own academy. Is most people don't, we have more. A longer training than any law enforcement officer in this state.
And I think I heard recently, too, haven't they added maybe fire arson as far as it relates to Forest Service with you all as well?
We've struck up an agreement with state forestry and the U.S. Forest Service where we're learning, you know, how to investigate, you know, arson in the woods and stuff like that and help them out because they're like us, kind of shorthanded.
But I guess getting back to typically what your job involves, what are the kind of things that you typically police or your task with looking over?
Well, my main job is, you know, anything to do with hunting, fishing, and boating. If it relates to any of those three, that is my main objective. But like you said earlier, in a small town, you get involved in a whole lot of stuff.
I guess naturally, too. Of course, historically, like you said, it was only hunting and fishing, and Your job, like every other law enforcement, is involved, I guess, in the kind of people or cases you deal with daily now. I mean, with I think we kind of talked off air a little bit, tourism and things, and that relates to boating. So that gets into your wheelhouse as well.
Oh, yeah. In the last 2 years here in this county, you've seen a boom in the kayak and canoes. It's nothing to drive from Clay City to the Gorge and see 200 canoes in any given day on the weekend.
And I guess naturally, I think the kind of adventure tourism and the outdoors style has kind of picked up in people's lifestyles. So you have more people frequent us who fish and that kind of thing and requires, I guess, your oversight to some degree.
Yeah, and I think more of the other type of activities is more than, you know, people still fish and hunt, but not like they used to. I don't know what the reason of that, you know, would be, but you see a lot more of the, you know, out of state, out of town people, you know, rock climbing, the canoeing, boating part of it. Some of them you see fishing, but most of them are here, you know, I think a little bit more adventurous.
So how, in that newer traffic you see, how's that impact what you have to do daily or how's that affect your job?
Well, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure that all these kayaks, canoes has an accessible PFD, you know, a life jacket. You know, in this state, it's mandated by the Coast Guard. It's all federal. Anytime you're on any kind of watercraft or vessel, you have to have, you know, a life jacket for each individual on board.
I guess, you know, it's one thing to enforce the law, but I think a lot of people, when they're out in a boat or whatever, just in that instance, and don't have the protection device, they don't realize not only are they potentially putting themselves in danger, but they're causing law enforcement emergency services of all kinds a lot of extra effort should something go wrong there, and they don't have that device.
Yeah, ever since I've been doing this job, I've told everybody, you know, a boat is a very fun recreational vehicle, but nothing could be no more dangerous at the same given time. There's no white line, yellow lines, there's no stop signs, there's no nothing. It's all on you. There's no brakes. Always got gas, you know. You have to be very vigilant and very aware of your surroundings at all time when you're in a boat. I mean, I know it's hard to do sometimes. You're having fun, kids, but I've seen, you know, tragedy strike within just the blink of your eye out on the water.
I guess one thing that would probably make your job more challenging than maybe some of the other branches of law enforcement is, I guess, in what you all oversee, there's fewer of y'all, I guess,
there's one per capita state. Yeah, one per county. I think right now there's only like 100, and even everybody in Frankfort, there's 128 of us. So most of that is administrative, a lot of it.
And then I guess, too, in a lot of what you all police is not so much it's rural, so you've got a lot of miles or streams that you have to oversee.
Yeah. I drive probably 2,000 to 2,500 miles a month in this county.
I guess in kind of clarifying, I'm sure one thing we've tried to do with everybody we've talked to on the show is naturally you probably get numerous calls and sure you don't care to take them. But I guess in trying to be more efficient for the people who may need your services, what are the kind of calls that, let's just give an example of a lot of things that you do get and then kind of go back and clarify what kind of calls should you be getting? You know, when should people call you versus state police or whoever?
Right. Well, like I say, you know, your main priority is law enforcement. You know, we're paid to enforce the law set forth by the legislature, you know, in pertaining to any hunting, fishing, and boating. I do get a lot of nuisance calls, you know, a coon in my garbage or a squirrel in my attic, and I don't mind helping people. You know, that's not, you know, what I get paid to do. But, you know, I'm not going to tell somebody I'm not going to help them solve their problem, you know, one way or another. We have biologists. We have nuisance trappers. There's a lot of different avenues you can look into, you know, that would take care of a lot of those nuisance calls.
I guess if, you know, somebody sees an infraction or something that you should, that's related to what you do, how do they go about, do they call their local dispatch? How are you contacted?
Well, yeah, you can do that. Actually, the Kentucky State Police actually dispatches us now. We're the same Moorhead Post before we're at Powell County. But you can also call the local dispatch because they can always get a hold of me. Yeah, anytime you see somebody breaking the law, and I know a lot of people don't like getting involved, but, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and, you don't have to, as long as I got information to go on, I don't need your name. You know, you just got to have, you know, the nerve to call and kind of get the wheels rolling.
I guess another thing, we always think about somebody only calling when there's infraction, but also with the changes in game laws and all those kind of things every year, I guess to some degree changes. Mm-hmm. That's another resource you could be, I guess, beyond the book if they have something that's clarified stay legal.
Right. And that's the part of my job I could probably enjoy the most is I want people to know what they can and can't do. That way, when we do meet up, it's a pat on the back. How you doing? Everything's good. See you later. You know, that's my ultimate goal.
I guess kind of going, taking a little bit different direction. I guess in part because of the job your department does, we've seen a vast increase in the wildlife available for us to hunt or fish from even 15, 20 years ago. Yes. And you might speak to some of the diversity we're seeing come back to this area that we didn't have a decade ago.
You know, when I was growing up, which I'm not that old, but I mean, if you seen a deer, you know, you wanted everybody to know about it because they just wasn't many. And like I say, since probably the early 80s till now, is just daylight and dark. The wild turkey was hunted to extinction in this part of the world. It's been the greatest restoration project probably ever undertook by anybody is, you know, the comeback they've made. You got elk that roamed where they, you know, roamed, 200 years ago. Like they should. They're not in Powell County because we don't want them here because there's too much crops. You know, there's a 14 county area designated for those elk to be in, and those guys up there work hard to keep them in that area because you know up there you got strip jobs and you don't have acres and acres of soybeans and corn because if you take 100 elk getting a 100 acre cornfield, well, it's destroyed.
Kind of going back to a point you touched on there earlier, Chad. You know, oftentimes, I think people have a negative view of laws now and just they don't want the law to tell them this, that. But really, I thought it really hit a point, you know, resonated with me when we talked about that's the reason why now we have a lot of the species we used to not have. And that's a prime example of how laws, because of laws, something positive's happened. You want to speak a little bit more on that?
Right. Well, going back, you know, when people first started settling this part of the world, there was no laws, no regulations, no rules. It was, you know, survival of the fittest. there was so much game here. You know, I've read, you know, Thomas Walker's journal. There's a lot of old writings from years past. Daniel Boone speaking of all the elk and bear and turkeys and deer just running over top of one another, you know, in Powell County in this area. Well, that was all good until, you know, everybody just took everything they wanted whenever they wanted it. And then all of a sudden they woke up one day and there was nothing, you know. So that's why I think my job is important, along with any other law enforcement job, is you have to follow the rules. You know, if you're allowed two deer, then you kill two deer and you go home. You know, you can't, that don't mean you sneak two deer home and go kill four more. Because if everybody done that, we'd been the same shape we was 200 years ago.
Yeah, it's very fortunate now because of those, as I said, people that like to hunt or enjoy it, have a means to gather meat and do a lot of recreation that they used to would have had to drive hundreds of miles to do. They can do it right here at home now.
Yeah, it's like the elk draw, the elk lottery. I mean, it's the cheapest, you know, if you're a state resident and get Drew for that, it's the cheapest elk hunt you'll ever go on.
And probably amongst one of the most quality ones as far
oh,
as
oh, yeah. You know, yeah, I think we've talked before, you know, elk is a naturally migrating animal. Well, in Eastern Kentucky, they don't have to migrate because the weather don't get that bad. They've got so much to eat. So our elk are body-wise, they're 200 or 300 pounds heavier. They're the bulls, their horns are, you know, they're huge.
One other thing you have mentioned there, and I guess it's become more prevalent in the last few years here, and it relates strongly back to our tourism deal, is I guess a lot of misconceptions about, you know, black bears starting to come in here.
Yeah.
And people's, I think, or you hear a lot of stories and it gets exaggerated. So I think it's only appropriate probably that we talk about them being back here to some degree and how to conduct yourself when you're out in an area where they may be prone to have a black bear.
Right. You know, we've talked, me and you have talked about this before, you know, it's nothing that really our agency has done. It's been just like more of a natural occurrence, you know, that they're coming back. Some people say it's the development in West Virginia and Virginia, and they're pushing them this way. You know, I really don't know. But I just know they're here, and I'm pretty sure they're here to stay. I mean, when sow start having babies, you know, that pretty much tells you they live here. They're staying here. If a bear comes in your backyard, you know, never feed it, because you're setting a precedent there and a habit that you can't break, and that's when trouble comes along, you know.
Yeah, I think you got to touch base. Basically, typically when you have a nuisance bear, unfortunately, it's not the bear that's created that. It's the human activity
Thinking it's cute to throw it, whatever scraps you may have. It's a state law that you cannot feed a bear. If you get caught feeding a bear, you will get a ticket, because you're just going to create a problem for, you know, our biologists and these guys, these bear techs. That's all that they spend their, you know, no time how many hours a week moving these nuisance bears that people have created.
And I guess the reason I really want to, you know, like I said, we definitely depend on tourism, and it's kind of ironic. You look to like the Great Smoky Mountains, that's one of their advertising things, having bears.
Right.
Here in Kentucky, seemed like for whatever reason, we've given that a negative connotation, and it's a fear tactic, and we need to do a better job of educating that they're not the danger that people.
And I think people in Tennessee, they've just been there so long, they're just so used to it. Here, it's something new. You know, it's something that people in our families way before us dealt with. When they was here, you know, I think the last one that the DeHart guy up on Sizemore Mountain killed was the last known bear to ever be killed in this county. And that was what, in the 1800s, you know, it's been a long time. And it's just something new to people. And, you know, and you mentioned bear, and they, you know, it just kind of scares them, I guess. But I really don't think, as long as you know, you don't agitate and aggravate and don't feed them, most of the time, you know, they ain't going to bother you.
That's what I said. I think, like you kind of talked about, we've had a population here, and you don't see where they've really negatively impacted anybody. So it's definitely a species we can coexist, and our tourism can coexist with. We just need to do a little bit better job of educating ourselves about them and knowing how to react when they're in the areas.
Right. There's very, very few documented black bear attacks. Very few. I mean, it's just something it just rarely happens. And the gorge is a perfect place for them. All the wild, there's blueberries growing everywhere. That's one of their favorite foods. And like I said, I tell people all the time, people tell me, you know, they're here to stay, I'm pretty sure. And I'm like, you got to learn how to coexist with whatever's around you. I'm not one to tell people you can't leave your garbage here, you can't feed your dog there no more, but you got to use common sense. you know.
Well, we're kind of getting a little short on time. We'd like to thank you, Chad, for coming in. Like I said, we got to touch on some things. But if they would like to further discuss these, I'm sure when they see you through the community, you'd be happy if they have a question or a comment about anything we've talked about today. And we appreciate the job and the service you provide for Powell County.
And anytime, I thank you all.